We've heard the word of God read. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise for your many blessings in our lives. We thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy, your presence with us at all times. Father, we thank you that as we're come this morning, that we're assured through your word that even where two or three are gathered in your name, that you will be in our midst, and we thank you for that. Father, I pray that as we continue our worship this morning, as we look into your word specifically, we recognize that without you we can do absolutely nothing. And so we would ask that just now you will come by your Holy Spirit, the author of all truth, that you will guide our every thought, that you will teach us all things, that you will minister to our heart's need. But Father, above all, may everything said and done be to your honor and to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you know that just in 16 days, it will be Christmas? 16 days. That's just over 2 weeks. Wow. Did you know also, I've been looking at the calendar, as you can tell, that in 23 more days, it will be 2019. Just when I was getting used with writing 2018. Wow. How time flies. As we read the scripture this morning, I'm thinking of Dr. Luke's gospel account. There are 5 Christmas songs recorded for us in this gospel account. We have the Song of Elizabeth, chapter 1, verses 42 to 45. We have the Song of Mary, verses 46 to 56 in chapter 1. We have the Song of Zechariah, verses 67 to 79. Then we have the Song of the Angels. We're all familiar with that. In chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And then we have the Song of Simeon in the verses that were read for us this morning. Most of you know we had our first presentation of Bethlehem and Beyond Ponder. Last night in Springfield was our first presentation. We're looking forward to another one this evening. I'm privileged to have a small part in that Christmas presentation. I get to play the part of Simeon. You know, the old man in the temple? So fitting, isn't it? So I thought it would be appropriate for us this morning to look at the Song of Simeon. Before we do, it's important that we understand the sequence and the background of these events. According, as already was read, according to Jewish law, a woman became ceremonially unclean upon the birth of a child. On the 8th day, the male child was to be circumcised. That's found in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 12. After this, the mother was unclean for an additional 33 days for a male, or 66 days for a female. We get that in Leviticus chapter 12 and verses 1 to 5. At the conclusion of this period, the mother offered a sacrifice. Now, according to Leviticus chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, this sacrifice was to be a lamb. Or if she was poor, now this is interesting, if she was poor and not able to bring a lamb, she was to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. According to Luke, as we just read or had read for us this morning, a pair of doves or pigeons were brought. That's interesting because that reminds us of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. He says, For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. She couldn't afford to bring a lamb, so she brought two doves. Now, let's look at this Song of Simeon. There are three simple thoughts I want us to see connected with this song. First of all, in verse 26 to 29, we see that this was a worship song. Notice the worship of Simeon as he responds to God's faithfulness. In verse 29, we read, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word." Back in verse 26, we read that it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. Here God had revealed unto Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the baby Jesus. Now watch his reaction. He worships God. Verse 28, he took him in his arms and blessed God. Michael Card put it this way, and you'll be hearing that again tonight. "Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, for I've seen your salvation." He's the light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Notice he blessed God. It's interesting here that the style of worship doesn't get a mention. We're not told whether this was contemporary or whether it was traditional. He blessed God. That's worship. That's worship. Interesting, the word blessed here is the word from which we get our English word eulogy or eulogize, which simply means to make much of, to speak well of, to speak in flattering terms. This is what worship's all about, is it not? Simeon had much to praise God for. We need to mention that in our prayer. We have so much to praise God for. After all, as far as Simeon was concerned, God had made him a personal promise. And here we see the fulfillment of that promise. What a privilege Simeon had of seeing the Lord's Christ, or seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. That's worship. That's worship. When you and I personalize the promises of God and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we too, like Simeon, will know what it means to worship God, to bless, to praise God. So we see that Simeon's song was a worship song. Remember, a worship song is one that directs our attention away from self and unto God, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a worship song. Later this morning, we'll be meeting around the Lord's table to remember him as he appointed. as we gather around that table, as we meet to remember, yes, as we meet to worship him. Let's be reminded in Revelation, great book, Revelation. Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, we have a scene that is portrayed for us. The scene of the throne room in heaven. And there we hear the heavenly beings met around the throne and saying, chapter 4, verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Then again in chapter 5 of Revelation, verses 12 and 13, we have all the angels, the living creatures, the elders, we're told their number being 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I can't even take that in. It was a huge group of people. And they're saying with a loud voice, oh, listen to this, worship. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. A worship song. He simply blessed God. You know, I can't help get filled up somewhat when I try to picture in my mind's eye that throne room scene and the multitudes praising God. Worthy is the Lamb. Wow. If you're here this morning and you're a born-again believer, we have that to look forward to. I can't even depict what heaven's going to be like. I know a lot of people that are there already. I know the Lord is there, and he's the most important one. Worthy is the Lamb. You know, we'll be singing in that multitude. And we'll not have to worry about whether we're singing in key or not, because we'll be perfect. Simeon's song was a worship song. He blessed God. But then secondly, in verse 30 of Luke chapter 2, he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. We see, yes, it was a worship song, but it was a salvation song. My eyes have seen your salvation. Question. Have you seen his salvation? Have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, then you too, just like Simeon, will have great confidence in God. Notice verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. We see that Simeon here was ready for whatever the future held for him. And so with you and with me. When we have met personally with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have received him as our own and personal Savior and Lord, we too will be ready for whatever the future holds. One of the words that Simeon uses here is interesting, the word depart, depart. This word has several meanings throughout the scriptures. Each meaning tells us something about the death of a Christian. It means, right here in the verse that we are reading, it means to release a prisoner. It means to untie a ship and set sail. It means to take down a tent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 8 verses. It means to unyoke a beast of burden. Depart. Now let your servant depart. You see, as Christians, as born-again believers, we need no longer fear death. Not that we're looking forward to it, but we need no longer fear death, because it only frees us from the burdens of this life and leads us into the blessings of the next life. You see, that's the difference salvation makes. The Apostle Paul could say in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 24, he said, I'm betwixt and between. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is more of Christ. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two. I'm betwixt and between, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Salvation makes a difference, Paul says. The hymn writer, I believe, in thinking along those thoughts of salvation and the change that comes to us through that salvation, he says, heaven above is softer blue. Earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue. Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs overflow. Flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am his and he is mine. Do you have that confidence this morning? Do you have that assurance? Have you seen his salvation? Simeon's song is a worship song, and it's a salvation song. But then thirdly and lastly, verse 32. Simeon says, I've seen your salvation, a light to lighten or to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. I believe we see here that Simeon's song was a missionary song, a missionary song. By the way, this comment, this statement made by Simeon is something very unusual, even very strange for a devout Jew standing in the temple in Jerusalem and to say. Remember, there was no place for the Gentile, for the non-Jew in the temple. But Simeon sees the great salvation going out to Jew and Gentile alike, going out to the whole world. Remember the message of the angels to the shepherds? We'll be singing this many times over at this time of the year. Back in verse 10 and verse 11 of Luke chapter 2. Do not be afraid, says the angel to the shepherds, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good news, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, a Deliverer, who is Christ the Lord. Yes, Jesus Christ has and will continue to restore the glory of to Israel and has brought the light to the Gentiles so that all people can be saved. Isn't that precious? It's a missionary song. All people can be saved. Oh, let's remember, especially at this time of the great celebration, that the Christmas songs are missionary songs. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, the Apostle Paul says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons," adult sons. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." And so as we sing the Christmas songs, especially at this time of year, let's remember that they are missionary songs. We sung this morning. Charles Wesley penned, "Hark! The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy on high." Listen to this. "God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." Bethlehem and beyond. 7 o'clock tonight in Springfield. Simeon's song, a worship song, a salvation song, a missionary song. Could I be so bold as to ask a personal question of you? I've already said it. Have you seen his salvation? Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ in person? Do you know him as your Savior and Lord? Have you cried out to him as a sinner for salvation? If you have, then you're ready for Christmas. Lots of people ask me, "Are you ready for Christmas?" You can be ready for Christmas if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Then you're ready to worship him. Worship song, salvation song, missionary song. Do you know him? Have you seen his salvation? Father, we thank you, we praise you for your word to our hearts. We thank you that your word is truth, but we thank you, Father, that your word is personal. And Father, as you have spoken personally to us this morning, we delight to know that you have provided personally for each and every one of us in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, I know a lot of people here this morning. There are some I don't know. But if there's one in this service who has not seen your salvation, who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you'd be pleased to do that work in that heart, to take away the scales from unbelieving eyes, that they might behold the Lamb of God, that they might see your salvation, that they might come to that place where they can call out as a sinner in need of a Savior. May they know your salvation. Do that work, I pray, in Jesus' name.